The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Southbird Church of Christ in Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at spcc.org.au.
No matter what's going through your mind on Mother's Day, it's always good to hear stories of mothers. I'm not going to share a story about a mother, but I've asked a young mother in our congregation to come up and share, and I've asked Jenny Davis. Jenny, can you come up? Jenny might be known to some of you, but some of you might not know Jenny. And she's not going to sing. Let's grab that off John as you come up. But she's going to share something of... come up, Jen. Yep. Something of her story. So give Jenny a hand.
Hello. Well, now you know. I'm a mum. I'm a mum to a beautiful three-year-old daughter. Her name is Isabella. She's a gorgeous curly-haired kid who's going through the stage of undressing herself. So if you see a child running around in the nut doing ballerina twirls, chances are that will be my girl. David asked me to share about 5 weeks ago, and so I have since had a long, hard think about who I am as a mum and as a single woman in her mid-20s and where and how God fits in all of that. I grew up in a very strong, loving Christian family and went to Kalamunda Church of Christ. As a teenager and young adult, I was very sincere in my faith as a Christian and was, in fact, a really good Christian because I'd found something in my life I could be good at. I was and am one of those girls who struggles with a low sense of worth and so naturally fitted in the safe, loving and accepting environment church can provide, as well as being someone who provided that environment for others. However, at the age of 21, I suddenly became aware that I'd spent too many years working on issues of my own and disliked myself even more for not being this free and happy Christian I was meant to be. So I left church, work, family and friends to become something more. In my search to become something more, I did in fact become a mum. This, of course, was a huge shock to family and friends and myself, but something I chose to take on board for my life, knowing that I would be on my own. I have coped so well with being a single mum because of the love and support family and friends have given me, as well as the financial support and love Isabella's dad has given to Isabella. Isabella has been a gift to me from God, and becoming a mum has given me the stability and purpose I needed in my life. In my 3 years away from church, but not necessarily away from God, I did not find the freedom and happiness I'd set out to find, but rather deeper anger, bitterness and resentment for myself and God. Isabella was one when I decided to go back to church. I was still angry at God, but after trying out secular ways of therapy unsuccessfully, I ventured back to church. It was church or being an angry and bitter mum, although initially I did not think this would help me. But amazingly, out of no effort of my own, other than rocking up on a Sunday morning and dropping Isabella off at kids' church, my heart was filled with peace, love, comfort and forgiveness for myself and for others, but mostly myself. I knew it had come from God because for the first year I was here, I made a choice to befriend nobody, so I didn't get the feelings muddled as to whether they were from God or because of friendships. And that was the best year of my life. But since then, I have made some lovely friends. Hang on. I absolutely love being a mum, but just because I love it and in many ways have found my niche, it doesn't mean it's easy. It's amazing how the cuddles and sweet three words, I love you, from a three-year-old make it worth it. But it is a hard and full-on job, especially on your own. But I've learned that if I keep my eyes on Jesus and the purpose he has given me for my life and not compare my life to anyone else's except the life that Jesus led here on earth, I'm going to continue to discover the great person that I am. Last year wasn't as great as the year I was first here, but that's okay. I'm out of it now and learnt my lesson in self-worth, good and hard. I know that keeping my eyes on Jesus is the way I'm going to get there in my self-worth, and a journey that I'm excited about taking, because I know that as Isabella's mum, it's the best gift I can give her, and as a woman, the best gift I can give myself, and as a child of God, it's the best gift I can give to him with my life. Thank you for listening, and happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there.
Thanks for sharing, eh? Good. And I'd just like to pray. Can you pray with us? Father, thanks for Jen. Thanks for what you're doing in her life. Thanks that in many ways she touches our hearts in some way, Lord. She represents something of our story. As I always want to pray for her, I pray that you'd continue to reveal to her the things of yourself. Reveal to her the things that you want to do in her life. Remind her again of how valuable and precious she is. I pray for her love to continue to flow to Isabella and to many others. And Father, I pray again for each of us here this morning. Lord, we've all come from different places. There's different emotions on a day like this. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will really minister to the depth of where we're up to. Lord, take us on in this, I pray. I pray that today, even as Jen shared, that we would at least look to Jesus. At least focus on you, Lord, so that we can allow you to do what you want to do in our lives. Father, thanks that you're for us. I pray that we would believe that. I pray your blessing on us now, and I pray that you would help us to hear what you're wanting to say to us as we continue. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Jen. It's always good to hear stories, and hopefully as you picked up there, Jenny is a young mum who God's doing some good stuff in, and yet in the midst of that, like some of you would know, life doesn't always work as we want it to. You know, in the New Testament, we see Jesus ministering to a lot of women. Women of the day were very much put down, bottom of the rung. And Jesus modelled something of what I believe we're on about, is lifting. Ministering to the women. We don't hear a lot about where he specifically ministered to a mother. A few times. There's one instance where he ministered to a mother-in-law. So I guess that's biblical, that we've got to look after our mother-in-laws. That's always a positive thing, but he healed Peter's mother-in-law at one point. That's a good thing to do. But during the week I asked a few mothers, last week it was, I asked mothers, what is it about the character of Jesus that most strikes you as a mother? And it's interesting, some of the comments came back. Some you'll identify, or you'll probably identify with them all. One mother said, there's the practical, hospitable aspect of Jesus. Like when he turned the water into the wine at the wedding and saved the situation, and feeding the 5,000 with a few bread and fish. Another one said, Jesus always sees the good in people. Another one said, I guess I'm impacted by the fact that Jesus was very direct. He didn't beat around the bush. He was direct with the people who were against him and the people who were for him, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, in a lot of situations. Another one said, I am really thrilled that Jesus is there for our pain. As a mother, I feel the pain of our kids so deeply. I'd love to be able to take their pain in so many situations, but I know deep down that their pain will assist their spiritual growth. Good comment. I guess the natural tendency of a mother is to protect kids from pain, protect them from situations, to rescue them. But I believe more and more in this world where duty of care is a major subject, I believe more and more as parents we do have to help our kids to face reality, to not mollycoddle them, and somehow hold that intention, hold the balance there. Not easy. Several of the mothers that I asked said something like this: the incredible compassion and empathy that Jesus showed to people, and the fact that he knew people's hearts and what was going on there. That was the thing that impacted a number of the mothers I asked. And I think many of the New Testament women would have said the same thing. The fact that Jesus, unlike many other men, actually knew my heart. And he understood me, his empathy for who I was. I was reading a bit of Henry Nouwen during the week. And he made this comment about compassion. And it's something I want to pull out this morning. The word compassion means to suffer with. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear and confusion and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak and the vulnerable and powerless with the powerless. Compassion is not a bending towards the underprivileged from a privileged position. It is not reaching out from on high to those who are less fortunate below. It is not a gesture of sympathy or pity for those who fail to make it in the upward pull. On the contrary, compassion means going directly to those people and places where suffering is most acute, and building a home there. Wow. That last line is pretty hard to get a hold on. To go where the places and the people where the suffering is most acute and building a home there. I know John and Darren this week have been in Burma and Thailand where people that we support are doing that. And yet there's something of that call for all of us as we identify with Christ to go to those people and places where suffering is most acute. And what it means for us to build a home there, I'm not sure. But to try and deal with that sort of statement is an important thing. I guess, as I said, in the New Testament, we see this compassion of Jesus coming through. And the story I just want to pull some insights out of this morning is from Luke chapter 7. I've put in your outline. It's the story of the widow of Nain. And I'd just like to read that to you and then see what God says to us out of this as he's dealt with and ministered to a grieving mother. Verse 11, soon afterwards Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say, get up." It's a bit like the song, isn't it? Get up, get up. Get up out of your coffin. I don't know if Jesus sang it, but it had a great effect anyway. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So what are some of the insights that come out of that? Just a brief little snapshot of Jesus ministering to a very hurting woman, a hurting mother. First thing I look at it and I think, well, Jesus noticed her. The Lord saw her. There was no sign on her that said, "I am a widow. This is my son that has died." But the sovereign God of the universe noticed her, and he cared. You know, when a woman in those days lost their husband, they were in trouble. They were heading towards poverty. She lost her only son. She was heading towards poverty and powerlessness. She didn't ask Jesus for help. She might have even noticed Jesus there. Too often we're the same in our pain. She didn't ask him for help. A lot of times in the scriptures we see people asking Jesus for help, screaming, crying out, "Help me." But she didn't. But the Lord took the initiative. Jesus took the initiative. Loves to take the initiative. You know, in one sense, what Jesus' thought process was in all this, we're not really sure. But we know that he had compassion. He notices her. I believe he identified with her. Because from all the information we have, Jesus' mother was a widow. There's no mention of Joseph apart from those first days. And when Jesus is on the cross, and he looks down and sees his mother, and he sees the apostle John, and he said, "John, that's your mother now. Look after her. Mother, that's your son. He's going to look after you." There's the indication that she was a widow. And so Jesus had a special heart for the widow, especially a widow losing her only son. I think we sometimes forget that Jesus notices us. We need to know that. You need to know that no matter what's going on in your life, that Jesus notices you. And he doesn't notice you to put you down or to kick you. He notices you with a heart of care and compassion. He notices you. He identifies with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. He loves it when we talk to him about what we're feeling. But he knows what's going on. And I think it's also important to believe and to know that he's for you. We say this often here, but we don't often believe it in certain situations of pain. We forget that God is for us. He's on your side, no matter what you're going through. Now, I guess on the other foot too, there's the encouragement for us to notice people. You know, those of you who are in Christ, Notice people. Notice your neighbours. Notice your workmates. Notice your school friends. Notice your university mates. Notice the lonely. Notice the ones in youth group or at church who are on the edge. God's given us eyes to notice people and He's given us a heart to notice people. Don't discount that. Sometimes when we're feeling like we're going through some tough times, we forget to notice people. And so often God ministers to our pain as we minister and notice other people. I just encourage you that. You can make a difference just by noticing people. Maybe our prayer at the beginning of a day would be something like, Lord, today I want you to help me to notice the people that you want me to notice and to move towards them. I guess Jesus didn't just notice her, but His heart went out to her. You know, verse 13, it says that His heart went out to her. Tears filled His eyes. And you need to believe that as well, that Jesus' heart goes out to you. His heart breaks for you. He loves you. And once again, the question we probably need to ask on the other side is, when does my heart go out to people? I was thinking even as John was sharing about Burma and that stuff and all that's going on there, we can sometimes see it like a TV screen, can't we? It's just inevitable. There's so many messages and things bombarding us. For John and Darren being right there, they actually were with some people. Your heart can go out to them. And we don't have to feel guilty about that if it doesn't go out to people. But we do need to ask the question, what's happening there for us? So ask yourself, when does your heart go out to people? When do tears fill your eyes for other people? And what do you do with that? Sometimes it's just a matter of, wow, can't do anything with that. But more often than not, there is something we can do. I mean, Jesus did something. He didn't just sort of say, well, that's pretty tough. Jesus is wont to do, did something. I believe we can learn from that as well. Jesus is never passive, always active, always at work, always doing stuff. Verse 13, He goes up to her and says, don't cry. Now, at face value, that's a stupid thing to say. To a widow who's lost her son, only son, don't cry. That would not be advice I'd give you to go to a grieving person and say that. Don't cry. Why did Jesus say that? Why did He say don't cry? I believe the reason He said don't cry is because He was able to remove the reason for her grief. You see, we can't always remove the reason for people's grief. And sometimes we do say some things which we think afterwards that was dumb. But Jesus said to her, don't cry. Don't cry. No need to cry because I'm going to do something really wild here that this morning looked like a really bad day and it's going to become a pretty flash day for you. As I think about us in this situation, we can at least move towards people. You know, it's sometimes very difficult when people are lonely or on the edge or really sad. It's very difficult sometimes to actually move towards them because in here we're thinking, what will I say? I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know what to say. And really what we're saying is I'm more concerned about me, so I won't give it a shot. I just encourage you, give it a shot. Even if you say nothing and just put your hand on a person's shoulder, that's great. Okay? Just to say, love you. Praying for you. I care about you. No need for lots of advice and reasons why things might happen. But can I just encourage you, look out for these people. Notice these people. Move towards them. Move towards them. Jesus walked towards the coffin and He touched it. Touched the coffin. And in that day and age, that was a big risk because you weren't supposed to touch a dead body or a coffin. He risked defilement. But it's interesting what happened. It says they stood still. They're walking along, carrying this coffin, and He touched it and they go, whoop. It certainly stopped the procession. I don't know why they stopped. Maybe they were shocked that anyone would actually do that, like you don't do that stuff. Or maybe, just maybe they sense something's happening here. Something's going on which is bigger than us. We're not really sure what's happening here, but I sense that we need to stop. And they stop. I know I've learned over the years it's important often in my life to stand still. We can be very active, we can be very resolute in what we're doing, and sometimes we just need to stand still and let Jesus do what he needs to do. But what I find is that if I don't stand still, if I don't take time out and say, okay, what's happening here? I actually miss what Jesus is wanting to do. See, if they had kept going, they might have missed the miracle. And the more we take time to stand still and listen, reflect, talk to him, the more we notice what he's doing, the more we notice the miracle. Even if you might sense that Jesus is doing something, just take time to stop and say, okay, God, what are you doing here? When you're in the middle of a cyclone, a relational cyclone, or your world is like in a real mess, take a breath, stand still and say, God, what's happening here? I've got no idea what to do here. Stand still. These guys stood still and they allowed Jesus to do his miracle. And he spoke to the young man. Once again, quite unusual thing to do, but he spoke to this young man and he then raised him from the dead. That's got to be a wow experience. We don't often see that in our culture. It does happen from time to time in other cultures. Heard stories of it. We don't often see it in our own culture. But then it's interesting where it says, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. You know, often when Jesus does a miracle, he usually does several things. One might be, come and follow me. One might be, don't tell anyone about this. One might be, go back to your village. And in this case, Jesus gave the boy back to his mother. Because the mother was the object, the person of his compassion. She was the grieving one. And Jesus very much was meeting her need at this point. He gave the son back to a mother, back to his mother. I guess in some ways, Jesus definitely made this mother's day. As I said earlier, she went from the worst possible day to suddenly, this is back on a better than even keel. This is fantastic. I've just experienced a miracle that I could not believe would be possible. You know, the reality is, for you, Jesus can do what seems impossible. Do you believe that? Okay, I got a few of you. Even if you don't believe it, Jesus can still do what seems impossible in your life. You know, I grew up believing that most of the things in my life would turn out bad. That's just part of how I trained myself where I was trained. I think more and more we need to realize that as we stand still, we can actually get a picture of Jesus is able to do something which seems impossible. And because he's good and he's for me, it means that in some way I will experience some good stuff out of it. And God's going to do his work. Now, it might not always work out as I want it, but I need to believe more and more that Jesus can do the impossible. So I don't know what is in your situation at the moment which seems impossible. What seems like a cyclone. And it's just a mess. But you've got some situations that are close to that. Just think about those. Think about the ones that you think, there's just no way I can see. It might be financial. Might be relational. Could be emotional. Could be a whole pile of things. Could be who you are and you just think, there's no way I can get out of this habit. Can I just ask you just to give that to God now, right now? Just close your eyes, reflect on it, and just give that to God. Tell him what's grieving you. Tell him what the impossible situation is. You say, well, I've done it 100 times. Can I just encourage you to do it again? And as you stand still or sit still, just quietly let him minister to you. Father, just thanks that you love to minister to people. You love to do the impossible. Father, I just pray that all of these things that have been presented to you, that you would actually surprise people. Surprise someone right now. And might just feel a sense of peace. Father, thanks for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We don't always have to stand still for a long time to allow God to minister to us. But I encourage you to do that more and more. And I also encourage you to continue to actually be active in revealing compassion to other people. To do what you can. May not be able to raise the dead, but to go for it in terms of blessing other people. I know many of you, and I say this very thankfully, many of you do this great. Many of you are constantly looking for people and you're noticing them and you're giving to them. You know, on this Mother's Day, I think of my mother. My mother was born in 1913 and she had a fairly tough life. She was one of 12. Grew up in a two-bedroom house in Bunbury. And when she was 14, her 11-year-old brother died and her mum then cried herself to death over 4 months. And that was pretty hard for my mum. And in those days, in the 20s, you don't really deal with that sort of stuff. You know, and so forever, she had an emotional baggage that hadn't been dealt with that would seep out at times and sometimes burst out. All that pain and hurt. But what she became a Christian a week after her mum died, and what happened was that she developed a very compassionate heart. She loved to give to people who were from the poor side of town and from the who were struggling. She loved that. And she used to look after the little the preschoolers in the Sunday school in Harvey. And she would be forever making, she was a dressmaker, forever making dresses for these little kids who always turned up in not real good stuff. And she'd be forever making dresses for them. And I remember as a self-indulgent little bloke being the messenger, she'd say, I'll take this round to so-and-so. And I'd be wanting to play footy or cricket. And here I'd be on my bike taking a dress round to someone. I wasn't really happy about it. But the more I think about Mum, she had a compassionate heart that really flowed out. And she used what she had to bless others. She used what she had. Even, I think, just when she was just dying, we talked about the number of bride's dresses she'd made. She made over 50 bridal dresses for people who couldn't afford them. So she'd just make them. And I think of my mum, and I think, here's a mum whose compassion resulted in compassionate ministry. And I know, as I look around, a lot of you are involved in similar stuff. You mightn't be a dressmaker, but it's food or it's prayer or it's whatever. Can I encourage you to keep going for broke with that? Keep noticing the ones that Jesus is saying, I want you to notice this one, I want you to move in this way. Go with the gut, go with the sense. God can use you in ways that will blow your mind. I mean, as we look at the end of this, great stuff comes out of it. Unfortunately, life doesn't always end like this one. But the results that came out of this was fantastic. We've got a risen from the dead son, a mother who was desperate is now happy again. And it says that all were filled with awe and praised God. God has come to help his people. And that is a true statement. God is here to help. God's here to move. And news of Jesus spread throughout the countryside. You know, that's fantastic. More and more I'm realizing, no matter what's happening in my life, it's important to have an increasing amount of praise for God. You know, if I focus just on praising God on an increasing level, life looks certainly different. Praise God. I used to think, well, I can't praise God if I don't feel like it. But now I realize that's when I've got to praise Him. Because God's saying, I'm here. The more you praise me, the more you rejoice in what I'm doing, the more you'll notice what I'm doing. The more you'll be a part of it. The more you'll experience peace. The more you'll change your perspective. So can I encourage you in that? I don't want to treat flippantly the pain you might be going through. But can I encourage us as a general statement to increase in our praise of God. To actually reflect back and say, what has God done in my life? And have a look at it. And say, praise God. Let's have hearts that praise God on an increasing level. You know, the more I think about it, I look at these people and I think, we don't know, but I'd say their lives would be changed forever. You know, compassion is a cycle. Our lives are changed. so we then move and help others. More and more can I encourage you to reflect on how your life has been changed. You know, you may be here this morning and you're not a Christian. You've never thought about Jesus much. I pray that today your life will change. That today you'll think, never thought too much about him. Don't really know where he fits in my life, but I think I'll keep exploring. That's a great thing to do. Keep exploring Jesus. Keep asking the questions, even to pray, God, I don't even know if you're there, but if you are, can you reveal yourself to me? Can you actually show yourself to me? And see what he does. Because I know he loves you more than you'll ever imagine. And he's there wanting to minister to you. But for us who have experienced the compassion of Jesus, whose lives have been changed, can I encourage you to pass it on? Keep passing it on. We are blessed to be a blessing. We've been given a gift, pass on the gift. Keep going for broken that. Christ indwells us. Christ has compassionately reached inside of our life so that we can compassionately reach to other people's lives. And in that way, Jesus Christ is revealed. It's a good story. But it's not just a story that belongs in the New Testament. It's a story that more and more belongs today. And God wants to move more and more in and through us, the church. So what are you feeling this morning? What's happening for you? Allow God to minister to that. And keep noticing and moving towards the people who are on the edge, who are struggling. May God bless you. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you so much that Jesus Christ is full of compassion for us. He suffers with us. Lord, your heart aches for us. You ache for us so that we would experience the fullness of yourself. Father, I pray this morning that all of us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we think about ourselves, no matter how well we think about ourselves or how badly we consider ourselves, I pray that we'll have a picture of how you see us that changes the way we see ourselves. I pray that we'll believe that you're for us, that we'll believe more and more and live in such a way because we know that you care about us and you're doing stuff in our life. Help us to notice what you're doing in our own lives. Father, I pray that today we'll go out of here not just thankful for our mothers, but thankful for what you're doing in our lives as well. Thankful for what you've given us so that we can overflow with grace and compassion to other people. Father, thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.